that I am going to share with you wise counsel from a person who lived more than 700 years ago. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be sharing with you wise counsel from Jeremiah for 2017. Wise counsel from Jeremiah in 2017. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Jeremiah then. And we will be in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 19. Jeremiah chapter 6, 16 through 19. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, which were in the good way, and walk therein. Now look at the promise, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. O hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even, listen to this, the fruit of their own thoughts. Thoughts count. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Over the past years, in the reign of President Obama, biblical values have been under attack. Christian values have been under attack as never before. Along with the Supreme Court justices, which for the most part are liberal, now we have to face the legalization of same-sex marriages. And additionally to that, you can be sued if you won't make a wedding cake for a gay couple, but if you turn down catering for President-elect Trump's election, nothing's going to happen to you. The bathroom bathroom directive that Barack Obama sent out to all the public schools, thankfully that's going to be reversed, but it is insane to think that a man should be in a woman's restroom, and it's going to happen a lot less, but a woman should be in a man's restroom. It's insane to be able to tell Christians that they're going to have to change their values to accept the murder of 60 million children by abortion. The godless progressive perversions have been propagated over these past 8 years, even by the highest courts in the land. Many of our politicians and our judges are doing just like it was in the days of the judges, doing that which is right in their own eyes, and they're rejecting the truths that have been given to them. Even many religious leaders are wandering in the wilderness. I just want to tell you, I was appalled, and I posted it there, but Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, who broke off from him and started his own church, he minimized the virgin birth at Christmas time, and he had go-go dancers on Christmas Eve, dressed scantily, standing behind shadow boxes, but they're wiggling and jiving. Some of you are old enough to remember what go-go dancers are. I thought they went, but it's young girls strutting their stuff around and hardly being dressed at all. And this was in his church service. In churches across the land, you have New Age principles of yoga and yoga teachings being taught in churches as a part of relaxation techniques and other things. What I want to tell you is they're rejecting the Bible ways of worship, and they're following the ways of the world. By their own authority, these Christian leaders have Christianized evil contemporary worship, and the problem is that many of the people in the pew, they like it, or they have no discernment to even know why it is wrong. I hope that that's not true here at First Baptist Church. You don't get it from the pastors. You don't get it in your Sunday school class. But American morals, I should say American immorals, are at an all-time low. Marriages, as I understand it, in the United States of America are at an all-time low. You know why? People aren't getting married. They're getting married. They're taking marriage privileges without the benefit of being married. And let me just tell you who's going to suffer. The children are the ones who are going to suffer the most in those type of situations. And so, you know, I lay out that picture to say that's the kind of world that we're living in 2017. So what are we to do as Christians? Well, Judah of old, because that's who Jeremiah was writing to, was in a similar circumstance of America today. They were rejecting the teachings of the Pentateuch. That was their standard back then. That was the old path. That was the old way. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And basically, Judah had walked away from the old way, the biblical way, and they wanted to follow the new way of apostasy. You see, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. They wanted to ignore God's word. They wanted to reject God's law. And God, through Jeremiah, is pleading with them to stop. He's pleading with them to inquire, to get back to the right way from which they had wandered, and that right way would have been the Old Testament. For us, the right way is the New Testament. The New Testament. And so we're going to take the time to look at 4 points this morning. Number one, ask, act, avoid, and approve. Ask, act, avoid, and approve. Number one, ask for the old path. Verse 16a, it says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way? I don't know how many of you have studied English literature, but in college I studied English literature, and the father of English literature was Geoffrey Chaucer. How many of you ever heard of Chaucer? All right. Geoffrey Chaucer. Geoffrey Chaucer, by the way, was a contemporary of John Wycliffe. And I find it very interesting. In his Canterbury's Tale, there's a section called The Parson's Tale. You know what a parson is? It's a preacher, the preacher's tale. Sometimes I sign my stuff Parson Brown. And basically, here's what Geoffrey Chaucer said, and I've checked it out, and Geoffrey Chaucer begins by quoting this section of Jeremiah as in John Wycliffe's Bible. So Chaucer obviously had a Wycliffe Bible, and here is what he says in the Parson's Tale. Standeth upon ways and seeth, and ask of the old paths. Ask of the old paths. What is the good way? And goeth in it, and ye shall find refreshing for your souls. The soul needs rest. It can only find this by walking in the good way. That's basically John Wycliffe's translation of the Jeremiah passage there. But Chaucer goes on in the Parson's Tale to explain this. Here's what he says. The good way is that which hath been trodden by the saints from the beginning. Who are the saints? the believers, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It is the old way. It is the way of faith. It is the way of holiness. Here's what Chaucer says: believe, love, obey, be holy, and be happy. This is the way. Let us inquire for it, Chaucer writes, and walk in it. But these bad people said, we will not walk in it. Then they took another way. They walked over the precipice and fell into the bottomless pit where, instead of rest, they find fiery drudgery fed by everlasting burning sulfur unconsumed. While Chaucer certainly is not a theologian like John Wycliffe was, obviously he had read the Wycliffe New Testament, and as far as I'm concerned, he cut that straight. As far as I'm concerned, he had it right. The phrase, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, is saying, make inquiry and find out where the old reliable paths are that God blesses. Now, there's some things that it doesn't matter. We can we do some new stuff. We use the internet. We use sermon audio. All those type of things. None of that stuff is in the Bible, but what is in the Bible is that we're to preach the word. And so however you can preach it. So if those things change and those methods change, there's not a problem. But what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong, and what's wrong is sin. And we need to follow those old paths. And that's what we need to do. Why? Well, Judah didn't want to do that. The old paths for Judah, as I mentioned, were the Pentateuch. Judah should have followed the lives of Enoch, of Noah, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and followed them. Enoch walked with God, and we need to walk with God. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We know that from 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Abraham was the friend of God, James 2, about verse 21, 22, 23. And they needed to follow the old path. We need to follow the paths, the old paths of John and Paul and Peter and James and Jesus Christ himself. And where can we find that path? Right here in the scriptures. So what I'm telling you today is in 2:17, you can't live on the blessings that you had from last year. You may have read through the whole Bible last year. You may have read through part of the Bible last year. You have to continue. What is your goal for the Word of God this year? Because this is the old path. This is the proven way. This is how God blesses us. So you need to make a goal, make an aim. As I said in Sunday school, you need to set a target, a spiritual target, in relationship to your giving, in relationship to your study of the Word of God, in your relationship to prayer, in your relationship to witnessing, you need to inquire of the old path. Ask for the old path. Where is the good way? The second point is act. It says, walk therein, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. One of the most frustrating things, and I've shared this with you before, one of the most frustrating things for a pastor working with people who profess to be believers is that when trouble comes, they lapse into behaving like unsaved people. They lapse into behaving like unsaved people. I just don't get it sometimes. People come in to ask my counsel, and it's like they stop their ears and go, la, 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 la. Because I'll share something from the Word of God, and you know what they do? Nothing! Nothing changes. You tell them the truth, you tell them what the Scripture says, and nothing. That is so frustrating to me as a pastor. It isn't like it's an opinionated thing. There are certain principles laid down in God's Word that a pastor can share. And when I think it's my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. And when it comes from the Word of God, I'll tell you what the Word of God says. But you need to hearken. You need to listen. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Oftentimes, when people come into hard times, they blame God. They got, God, why did you let this happen? Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Have you ever thought about Job? And all that happened to him? He lost all his riches. He lost all of his children. He lost his health. He's sitting out on a manure pile. And his wife says, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Good advice, honey. No, that isn't what he said. He says, though the Lord slay me. Do you get that? Though the Lord kill me, I will still trust in him. Hearken, my friends. It only compounds the misery when you run away from God. And if you've run away from God, I'm encouraging you to run back to God in 2:17. Because let the wicked forsake their way and return unto the Lord. And here's the promise. Here's the promise. Not me. Here's the promise from the Word of God. And he will abundantly, what? Pardon. If you've gotten away from the Lord, quit wandering in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of isolation. The wilderness is a place of misery. The wilderness is a place of torment. The wilderness is a place of just. Hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. Walk therein. In fact, it goes on to say that believers are called to walk in the good way. Now, here's an important thing. It says this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. As you act and walk in them and hearken to the sound of the Lord, let me ask you something. Have you examined your priorities? Where does the Lord fit? Where is he in your priorities? Where is worshiping the Lord in your priorities? Where is serving the Lord in your priorities? Colossians 1:18, in all things he might have preeminence. What does preeminence mean? It means that he wants to be first place. It means he wants to be number one. He wants to be numero uno. In all things he might have preeminence. Why should we give him preeminence over our desires? Why should we give him preeminence over our feelings? Why should we give him preeminence in our lives? I'll tell you why. If you're a believer, he owns you. He owns me. I'm not my own. I have been bought with a price. Sometimes we forget that. Does the preeminence of Christ show in your life? I mean, really, does it show in your church attendance? Oh, no, come on, preacher. No, I'm just asking you, this is 2:17. If we are to walk therein and hearken to the sound of the trumpet, Judah had its own plans. I'm going to work my plan and I'm going to go my way. And you know what? Judah got themselves in so much problem. Judah wandered in the wilderness. Judah was so miserable. Judah was so isolated. You don't want to be there. You really don't. Does it show in your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it show in your service for the Lord Jesus Christ? Does the preeminence of Christ show in your study of His words? Does it show in your morality? Does it show in your talk? Does it show in your values? There's only two types of values. There's the values of the world, worldly values. Or if you would, as James characterizes it, there's wisdom from above and wisdom from beneath. So your values are either based on wisdom from above, and where's the wisdom from above recorded? Where is it recorded? In the Word. In the Word. Do your values reflect what you find in the Word of God?
Yeah, except on Packers Day.
I don't have anything against sports. But you know, that's why you got stuff so you can record those things. You don't have to skip services because of that. Preacher. James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I am a Christian! Okay. So I'm going to go from preaching to meddling again, as if you're surprised. But for you this morning, somebody says to you, where were you on New Year's Day? Thank God, look at this. Amen. Amen. Bless God. You know, there's some people, and even some who name themselves as Christians, are, what takes care of a hangover? I was praying with Michael and the guys this morning, the five that are there in our prayer time, and probably not anybody here this morning had to have a designated driver last night to get them home. I drove myself home. And likely you drove your... Now, my wife didn't drive herself home, but she didn't stumble out of a pub last night either, so... That's a private joke, but anyway. I'm just saying, and you know what? If you were to be tried for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I hope everybody can say, yeah, I hope it doesn't happen. But you need to be like Daniel. Daniel, there was a law. Nobody was to ask any petition of anybody but Nebuchadnezzar. So you know what Daniel did? He went home and he cowered behind his... No. He went up into his upstairs room. He opened up his windows that faced towards Jerusalem. And he prayed as he did every day, three times a day. And he did not hide it. I am asking you this morning in 2017 to keep on keeping on and let your Christianity show. There's all kinds of ways that you can manifest your Christianity. I'm not telling you to be obnoxious. I'm not telling you to go to your family member and say, okay, I'm going to witness to you. I'm not saying that. But neither am I saying be undercover Christian. Don't let anybody know you're a Christian. No, there's an in-between there someplace, right? And I got to move along because we have communion. Avoid ignoring God like Judah did. In verse 18 it says, but they said, we will not walk therein. We will not hearken. We're not going to walk that way. We're not going to do that. Therefore, hear ye nations. And see, I think this is a part of the problem with our nation. They've tried to marginalize Jesus Christ. They've tried to marginalize God. They've tried to put him in a box. Hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. I believe a great deal of the reason that America is in the bind that America is in today is they have said, we will not hearken. We do not like biblical values. We do not like biblical morals. But we are the remnant. God always has a remnant, and we are to be the salt. So when other people are trying to push and push and push their agenda, even though they do not like it, what does the remnant do? The remnant holds to the old path without apology. And sometimes there's a price. I understand that. Sometimes there's a price. But here's the approval. And then I got to quit well before my message is done, but I'm going to quit so we can come to the Lord's table and enjoy the thoughts of what the Lord has done for us. The approval is this in 16c of Jeremiah chapter 6. It says, ye shall find rest for your souls. I can just tell you this. There is sorrow and misery for those who rebel against the Lord. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21 says, the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Therefore there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. However, there is peace, and there is rest, and there is rejoicement when you follow the ways of the Lord. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, if you know it, recite it with me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then it goes on to say, but the ungodly are not so. You have a choice. I'm not saying that as a Christian, you know, shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail the bloody seas? No, sure, I must fight. If I would win, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, endure the pain supported by thy word. If you as a believer want God's approval, and I do, and I trust that you do, and if you want God to prosper you, and I'm not talking about necessarily dollars and cents, then follow Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means let it be on your lips and on your thoughts. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'm just telling you, encouraging you to follow the old paths. Where is the good way? And if you follow the old paths, where is the good way? God does promise to you a reward. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes.